Wonderful.
Praise God. You know, I was asked to share a few weeks ago, so I'm like, Lord, you know, what message do you want? And I kept getting coveting. You know, thou shalt not covet. And I'm like, no, you know, something better than that. And I kept getting it, and I was like, okay, I think maybe that's the Holy Spirit. And I just felt like a rookie reporter. You know, they're like, oh, go cover the story on the lady with the biggest ball of yarn, or, you know, go cover the school, board meeting or something. And I just, that's what I studied. I was a reporter before I was a mom. But so I just felt like, oh, Lord, come on, give me the big murder case, you know, give me the good thing, you know, coveting. Oh, okay. You're just giving me the little. Guys, it is not little. It is, the more I've just been immersed in coveting for a couple weeks now, and it's really just a big deal. And it reminds me of a pair of pants that I had. You know, Jesus shared stories, and God will speak to us throughout our whole day, no matter where we're at. And just doing laundry, okay? I keep washing this pair of white pants. There's no stains, you know? But I cannot use them because they're dingy. And so I'm thinking, oh, I'll just try bleach. I'll just try OxyClean. I tried everything. I mean, soaked it in like the strongest OxyClean thing I could find and everything. And I just was so bummed I couldn't use these white pair of jeans because it would have been so cute with this outfit and with that outfit. And God speaks to us through everything if we're listening. And he was saying, it's kind of like you, darling. We got rid of the big sins. We got rid of the big stains. There's no big, you know, no cigarettes or anything, you know, obvious. But there's some things that are just real subtle, kind of in the background. And let's cleanse. Let's purify. You think you're okay, but there's some sneaky things in there that you may not see. So I've called this coveting the sneaky sin. It's kind of sneaky. You're like, who, me covet? No, I don't want anyone else's stuff. No, I'm okay with, I'm content. And then the Lord starts to, you know, open our eyes, and just studying this, I am so busted. I'm so busted with coveting. So I'm so grateful that, you know, at least one person is getting pruned and cleaned with God's word. You know, he told his disciples, the word that I've spoken to you cleans you, and it's pruning you, and it's just cutting away those things that don't need to be there. So anybody ready just to be cleaned and pruned? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, God is just so good. He has already spoken so much to us this morning, hasn't he? He's just blessed us so much. So it's hard to come in with a message that's like a little cutting, like, here's a sin, let's cut it out, you know? But God is so gentle and so good and so good. So let's just pray, okay? Father, we just thank you for your word. We are all here. We are open, and just invite your word to come in and do its work. We know you want to take us to another level, and you're preparing us, and you're helping us to just get rid of everything that would hold us back, everything that would disqualify us, Lord. So we just say, yes, do your work in me. We bless this time of just receiving the word. And I also want to just pray for our time in our tables, that you would just continue with your Holy Spirit to just move throughout this whole room and begin to open our eyes and open our hearts and begin to cut away what needs to be removed, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So let's just define coveting, just so we're all on the same page. Okay, Exodus 20, verse 17, it's the 10th commandment of the 10 commandments. Seems to be a theme this year, 10 commandments. I love to hear pages in the Bible going, it's just so beautiful, because it means you're using your sword. So awesome. So I'll give you just a minute if you want to find it. Okay, Exodus 20, 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Well, obviously nowadays we don't have male servants or female servants. We wish we did. But what we have nowadays, we have appliances, right? We have a washing machine. We don't have a maid servant washing our clothes. We have, So don't covet your neighbor's stainless steel refrigerator and oven and dishwasher, okay? And today we don't have an ox or a donkey, but we have cars. Oh, man, it's so easy to covet cars. Our next-door neighbor used to be a car dealer. Would buy him at auction, would just roll up with he had this gorgeous Jaguar. But we didn't covet, okay? No, maybe just a little. It was so pretty. Thank you, Lord. So let's just modernize that. Let's not look at our neighbor's stuff, at our friend's stuff, any family, even on TV, anything. It's a command not to even want it. Like, oh, I got to have that, And I love Jesus talked about coveting, and I want to see it in the Amplified. They had a pretty good definition. Okay, so Luke 12:15, and I'll just read this really quickly. And he said to them, guard yourselves and keep free from all covetousness, the immoderate desire for wealth, the greedy longing to have more. And I thought that was a pretty good. So if we could just keep that in mind, the immoderate desire for wealth, the greedy longing to have more. For a man's life does not consist in and is not derived from possessing overflowing abundance or that which is over and above his needs. Amplified goes way deep. But that was good. And, Jesus always, in Matthew 5, he addressed the law of Moses and he took it a step deeper. You remember that? He said, in the law of Moses, it says, you shall not murder. But I say, don't even be angry. And in the law of Moses, it says, don't commit adultery. But I say, don't even be thinking any sexual thoughts toward anyone else because you've already done it in your heart. So he goes to the heart. And I feel like for coveting, the Lord wants to go to some root causes. And we remember in Cain, I remember a teaching Pastor Jim did on sin. The Lord said to Cain, Cain, you're angry at your brother. Watch out. Sin wants to take you over, but you need to conquer sin. You need to dominate over sin. And I feel like today God is saying covetousness wants to take over your life, but we need to just nip it right at the source, right? And then Cain didn't listen, went on to kill his brother. And I wanted to see James 1:15. It says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So then when what has conceived? Desire. Desire, we have these longings and these desires. When it has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And I felt like the Lord showed me three desires that we have, three longings that we have, and three needs that we have. And we're trying to fill it with stuff, with a beautiful purse and a nice car, a nice house. So you ready to look at three desires and longings that we have that we try and fill with the wrong thing? Number one is lack of true affirmation. Lack of true affirmation. We have been so affirmed here this morning. And I had the same exact thought as Pastor Jessica when as soon as he started singing, you're beautiful to me, I was just starting to sing it to the Lord. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, God is singing this about us, even with all of our brokenness and immaturity. And I'm going to try and get through this without crying. I am such a weepy girl. I mean, I cry at table talk, but we're girls here and I always give everybody permission to cry if they need to. But what is affirmation? It's praising someone's attributes. It's saying you are valuable. You're important. You're talented. You're doing a good job. Your future is bright. Don't we say that to our kids? Oh, you're going to be this and that. You're beautiful. You bring delight. You are excellent and faithful. And some of us have a lack of affirmation. Maybe growing up, our parents didn't really fill our hearts with affirmation. Maybe our friends or you know, people around us, we're just so hungry for affirmation. We need compliments. We need people to, you know, like Elizabeth did for Mary, to say, you are the mother of the Lord. That's who you are. She affirmed her. We're so hungry for that. So what do? We look to stuff. You know, maybe if I have nice stuff, I'll get the affirmation I so need. When we see someone who is being praised or loved and affirmed, we covet the things that make them seem so desirable. We want to look like them, talk like them, walk like them, drive their car, cook with their cookware, you know, Rachel Ray. And of course, advertising takes full advantage of this. They'll put like the coolest mom ever, you know, and you're like, ooh, I want to be like her. We're just coveting because we just want to, we want to be as amazing as they are. And we just need to be affirmed. We just need the Lord to say, you're beautiful. You're amazing. Amen. In the Bible, there was two brothers, Jacob and Esau, and the dad had a favorite. Isn't that just the worst thing? Just the worst thing. The dad just loved Esau. He was macho. He was a hunter. He was hairy. Ew. His dad loved him. You know, he was like a real man's man. So Jacob comes in and puts on animal skins on his arms so that he can receive his dad's blessing. And so many times, ladies, we're putting on animal skins so that we can receive the blessing from other people. And the next time we go shopping, let's ask ourselves, am I just putting on animal skins? Am I trying to look like the girl in the magazine who seems so chic and carefree? Are we trying to be her? Let's be careful not to put on animal skins to receive the blessing from the people around us, our family or our friends. Amen? I love a billboard that's on the 10 coming from Riverside. It says, act your wage. Act your wage, not act your age. And some of us are getting in debt trying to look richer than we are. We want people to think, oh, she's pretty amazing. She's doing well. We're getting in debt just to look good. Let's just be comfortable with who we are and where we are and act our wage. And just say, you know what? If I only have two pair of jeans, it's okay. Like in Spanish, está bien. Like the Dominicans say, está bien. And, you know, that's just where I'm at. God's taking me to a new normal. Amen? I love that. He's taking us all to a new normal. So let's just be okay with where we're at and not put on a front, not put on animal skins to receive the affirmation that we so long for. So what is the solution? We're coveting things to, you know, make ourselves feel better about ourselves and get some compliments. What's the solution? Let's put that up. We need to receive God's words of affirmation for you. Hallelujah. He's so good. He just did that this morning. I was so blown away. Like, God, that's point number one. You already did it. He's so good. You know, as Pastor Deborah has said, read the Bible as if it were the Lord talking to you. Just say, Lord, just let's read the word together. Hold my hand, you know, and just let him show you in the word. If you stood face to face with him, he would probably just repeat himself with the things he already said in his word. Isn't that awesome? He would say, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Gosh, I don't want to cry. I have carved your name in the palm of my hand. He loves us so much. I gave myself for you. Is there anything I would hold back from you? Amen. And he gives it to us when we're ready, when it's not going to be a stumbling block to us. He's such a good dad. He is just such a good dad. He's very careful and he's so wise. Praise God. So we're going to receive the things that he has to say about us. It could be our parents never told us those things, but God will. He'll fill in the blanks. And it could be you got so much affirmation. You're so self-confident. Life was good. Even then, there's a place where you need God to come in and say, I created you to be this way or be that way. Some specifics. You're unique. I gave you an encouraging heart. I gave you a confidence. Or he'll just show you things about you that are so special. And there's even classes here you can take at the Rock to find out the giftings that God has put in you, the special things about you that make you special and useful in the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. One more word of affirmation that has just been ringing in my heart. Matthew 16:26. Just in case you need something to meditate on this week, some words of affirmation. It says, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" And I just feel like God is saying, you're human. You have a human soul. Do you know what that's worth? You have the ability to feel emotions, to make decisions. You're not an animal. You're not an angel. You have a soul. And if someone were to offer you all the money in the world for your soul, you would be crazy to exchange it. Your soul is so beautiful and so valuable. Amen. And the enemy just wants us dead. He just wants us gone. But our soul is so valuable. Amen. So second desire or longing of our heart that we're filling with things. You ready? Lack of true justice. Lack of true justice. And you might think, what? Yeah. We have experienced injustice in our lives. Some of us to a much greater degree than others. It seems like we've always gotten the short end of the stick. Others seem to always win. We seem to always lose. So we feel like we should get the blessings that they are getting to even the score. Isn't that funny? Oh, she got a new car? Well, that's her third new car I should be getting, you know? So we're coveting because we're jealous and we want to make things fair. Did you know God wired us to understand fairness and understand justice? Because one day we are going to judge angels. So we are, as humans, we know this is not fair. But then we take it upon ourselves, well, maybe if I have their stuff, it'll be more fair. So we're coveting. And when they get something new, we can't be happy for them. Let me just give some examples of things that might happen. And we have a hard time rejoicing with those who rejoice. You know, in Romans it says, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. And if we're finding it hard to be happy for our friends, it could be that we're coveting. We're jealous. We feel like something's not fair. It's not fair, you know? So how about this? Our friend gets married and we are still single. It's hard to be happy for her. Remember, thou shalt not covet the wife, and in our case, the husband, right? A coworker who's a man gets a promotion or gets the corner office with the view. It's hard to say congratulations. It's like the men always get, you know, the women should, right? And some of us have grown up with some real, real imbalance between the men and the women in our lives. And we've got that thing where it's like, we need to just balance it. So we're coveting their stuff. And it's just, I hate to say, but it's a silly way to bring justice. But we do have that feeling of like, it's not fair. Okay, how about this? Your mom helps your sister with her kids more than she helps you. You're happy for her, sort of, right? It's like, this is not fair. Okay, you're coveting. It's like, I want me. That should come to me. And there's just so many more. I'll just give you one more. You experienced a loss or tragedy, and everyone else seems to be living normal, happy lives. Yeah, it's hard to just be like, why me? They're just living happy lives. This is not fair. So you feel like, well, I should get something. You know, you just feel like there's something not fair going on. There's a case in the Bible of two ladies who lived together, and they both had babies, and they probably lived in a brothel because they were prostitutes, both of them. One lady accidentally smothered her baby and killed her baby. And she stole the other woman's baby to be her own. So when the case was brought before King Solomon, his answer was, okay, let's kill the baby and nobody gets the baby. Or actually what he said was, let's split the baby and then half and half, okay. So the woman who had accidentally killed her baby said, oh, that's fine. Okay, well then neither one of us get the baby. That's fine. That's fair. But the real mom said, no. Okay, let her have the baby. Just don't kill the baby. So he knew right away who the real mom was. But I just want to propose that maybe the woman who had accidentally killed her baby just saw the other woman with her baby and just said, it's not fair. It's not fair. If I experience a tragedy and if I experience a loss, she should too. So she's coveting something and wanting it to try and even the score. And we try and do this in our own way and in our own strength. So what is the solution when we're coveting something just because it seems like, well, the men always, you know, get to go out and have fun or whatever. The solution is trust that God will make things right. Trust that God will make things right. And I mean, this could be a whole series, you know, on God's justice and how he makes things right. Psalm 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. God is first and foremost a God of justice. I mean, he really is. He sees everything. He knows there is nothing that he just passes off. And we feel that way, like, oh, God, you just don't see. You're not doing anything about this. But righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Remember righteousness and justice before mercy. Before mercy. He is, one of his names is the God who sees. He is the God who sees. Oh, he sees it all. Between siblings, you know, if there was some kind of unfairness there, he sees. And that was Hagar who said that, and she was being mistreated, and the Lord helped her. And she said, you are the God who sees. You really do. Amen. And one of my favorite stories of the Bible, I just love this. Stephen was a man of God, the first martyr of the Bible. Saul, who would later become the Apostle Paul, was in charge of his killing him for being a Christian. He was in charge. And Stephen said, Lord, forgive them. I release them. Forgive them. And so God's like, this is cool. This is amazing. What are we going to do? I'm going to come up with a plan. I can hear God in heaven saying, I'm going to come up with a plan because such a righteous man was killed, but he was asking for forgiveness. So he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take Saul. And most people would say, okay, well then he needs to die too. That's fair. That's justice. What does he do? He takes Saul and he says, okay, we're going to turn him into a Christian. And he's going to be extremely persecuted and eventually martyred himself. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. But not only that, he was going to convert thousands of people to Christianity and write the majority of the New Testament, which would bless people for generations to come. How mad do you think the devil was at that plan? Yeah? And I believe the key was when Stephen said, forgive them, Lord. Forgive them. I release them. And so it was in God's hands to bring justice, and God's justice is so amazing. He really works things out so much better than we could by, oh, well, then you should give me that, you know, purse or whatever. It's just so petty. And God is the one who's going to work things out and balance things out, even between this whole men and woman thing. Oh, we're going to just see it. I don't even know the details, but I trust that God is going to just give us double for our trouble, like Joyce Meyer says. Amen. Praise God. Let me look at my notes here. Yes. Romans 12:19. Let's all look there. Thank you, Lord. I don't mean to be mean, and I'm sorry for calling you petty. I don't mean to say you're petty. This is just, you know, for all of us here. And just to say, no, I'm not going to try and even the score anymore. Trust the Lord. Romans 12:19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. What does that mean, give place to wrath? Give place to wrath. Let's look in the Amplified Bible. They explain things in depth. Let's look at the Amplified. Is it there? Okay, good. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, requite, says the Lord. And so when we are just, no, well, they owe me an apology, or they owe me at least, you know, to recognize, it's like, let's just say, if it's up to me, you don't owe me anything. I just completely release, and we step out of the way, and the Lord is really going to take care of that. I promise you. And it may take some time, but let's just trust the Lord. He's going to work that out. Amen? Amen. God is so good. Praise God. I have a, looking at the time. Okay, we're good. I have a personal, oh gosh, well, I was putting these notes together, just a little personal testimony on this, and this is where I was busted. Over Christmas time, I'm one of the worship leaders on our worship team in Spanish, and they said, okay, Tracy, for you, you are it for Christmas. You're in charge. You decide the list of songs. And they put it on me, you know. And I was like, cool, okay, you know, I'm praying, Lord, you know, what do you have for us, what songs? And so after it was said and done, it was like I had a really tough call to make. I had to remove one of the songs that the musicians had worked really hard on. We had a whole horn section. We had two percussionists aside from the drummers, so they had come together and worked so hard. And I had to cut one of the songs, and they were not happy with me. And so Christmas is done. It turns out great. But I was a little resentful afterwards, like, why did I have to make the tough call? Now they're all mad at me. And here's what flew out of my mouth, okay? And Brother Joe is getting a salary here from church, and I'm just a volunteer. I was like, oh my gosh, and I started going on and on. Yeah, and you know, if he's getting paid, then he should make the tough calls, and he should be, you know, getting in front of the team and telling them, well, we got to cut the bad news. Why did I have to do it? And I just feel like God busted me, like, are you coveting his money? Are you coveting his paycheck? You know, I've been serving in church hard. I mean, with all of my heart and soul and might, blood, sweat, and tears for years and years and years. And all of the sudden, when someone near me or close to me is getting paid, all of a sudden I want to like cross my arms. Oh, how ugly. I was like, oh Lord, I should have counted it a privilege to just, you know, that they would trust me with that leadership and to make the decisions. And guess what? When you're a leader, sometimes you have to make a tough call, period. And I was just so challenged by this coveting message, like, oh Lord, I just blew it, you know. And God is just so good, you know. And that's probably why he gave me coveting. Like, no, nobody else needs it, you girl. You know, let me just say, if you're working here as a volunteer, let's not look at that stuff. Let's not covet anyone else. Oh, well, she gets to lead tables and I just, you know, I'm ushering or whatever it might be. Let's just guard our hearts. Let's be so happy with what we're doing and do it with all of our heart, no matter what anyone else is doing. Amen? Amen. Okay, we'll just leave that alone. But I do have a couple more things, if we have time at the end, just to talk about, you know, coveting and going to the next level in God. You know, God has great things and plans for us, but we must be free from this coveting issue. It's really a key. And there's some places in the Bible I found that, and I was like, wow, Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me, Lord. Amen? So sometimes we're coveting, and it's not because of a lack of affirmation, maybe, you know, we're perfectly confident. Maybe it's not a lack of justice, you know, we haven't really experienced too much of that. So we're coveting. Why? Number three, a lack of true pleasure. We just want to feel beautiful things and look at beautiful things and have beautiful things. Pleasure, 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 right? And another word for this lack of true pleasure is just boredom. Boredom. We're just bored with life. And so we just want to go shopping. Oh, more. Oh, I need this. And, you know, I just redid my kitchen, but I just need to do it again. It's just like, oh, you know, just more things, more beauty and more pleasure. And did you know that desire for pleasure is something God has put in our hearts, and he's wired us to enjoy beautiful things and enjoy. Even in the Garden of Eden, before sin came in, you can read and it says, God put beautiful fruit on the trees, pleasurable to the eyes. So he created us to just, oh, that's so beautiful. Let me just reach out and taste it and touch it. Okay? We were made for that. But sometimes we're just bored with life and we're just, you know, greedy, need more. And some very wealthy people just are never satisfied. And I just wanted to, one time I went to the mall and I picked up this purse, calf skin purse. And it was so soft, it was like butter. I was just like, oh my gosh. And I'm looking at it like, oh, I would look rich with this. It's expensive. And it was so beautiful. And I thought I could even curl up and sleep with this thing. It was just, oh, so pleasurable, you know. And that's just an idea of just we long for pleasure. It's so soft and so beautiful and so lovely. Let's look at 1 John 2:16. So I'll refer back to the purse whenever we're talking about worldly pleasures. It's like so beautiful. And I put up the New Living Translation. It's my new favorite translation, by the way. I just loved how it explained it a little more easily, but I'm glad you're looking at it in your translation too. It says, "For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see." I don't know about you guys, but I'm like addicted to HGTV, you know, the interior design channel. It's just like, show me the reveal. Show me the reveal. I got to see the room after. Oh, it's beautiful, you know. A craving for everything we see and pride in our achievements and possessions, right? We talked about that. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. What is the solution when we're just like, oh, pleasure, just need more, just, you know, gluttony? The solution is delight in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. He's just so awesome. He's so amazing. So let's look at Psalm 37:4. You probably know this by memory. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. It's all a matter of focus. It's all a matter of focus. Are we focusing on the beautiful things? We want all new stainless steel appliances. Or are we focusing on serving the Lord and just delighting and spending time with him? And he'll give you the desires of your heart. Let's not go after the icing on the cake. He'll give you that, you know. And over in the Bible, it says at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So I'm like, Lord, what are those pleasures? You know, come on, I need them. Well, we've talked about two already, his affirmation. Isn't that wonderful? We spend time with him. We're getting affirmed. He's just building us up. Another pleasure is his justice, just letting him take care of situations and see them turn around so amazingly. Prayers answered, loved ones transformed. Anybody got a relative? You would rather see them saved than any, you know, trinket that the world has to offer, you know? Those are the pleasures that he has. Seeing people get saved, seeing yourself grow in God and in maturity, and living out God's calling for your life. Those are the pleasures. He's going to fill your life with those pleasures. And guess what? Here's a cool part. He gives us the physical pleasures too. He does. He'll add those things. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things are added to you anyway. So it's a win-win situation. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, He gives us richly all things to enjoy. He wants to see us really enjoy these things. He loves it when we're enjoying things. But here's what I just realized in my heart is that He wants us to enjoy these things because they came from Him. They came from Him. John 16:1 says, Abide in me and my words abide in you, and you will ask what you will and it will be given to you. So instead of coveting her stuff and this stuff over there, just enjoy your time with the Lord. Ask Him for, you know, He knows your desires and your delights, which will actually change as you spend time with Him. But He'll add those things because He wants to see you enjoy. He loves it. And you're doing it together with Him. And I have a little illustration for this, and that is that after Abigail was born, and we had just had such an emotional roller coaster, you know, praying and just praying for a miracle, you know. And Dion was a friend to me in that time. She just held my hand that time, just prayed with me and just encouraged me and was just such a friend during that crisis time, you know. And when I got home from the hospital, you know, she had left a beautiful bouquet of roses in my house. And every time I came downstairs, I just was like, it was like I was seeing them for the first time. Oh, the roses, they're so beautiful. They were the most beautiful. They were all the colors of the sunset. Like each rose was different. There were some that were just this dark maroon, looked like velvet. There were some that were just, looked like they were coals on fire. There were some that were just yellow and peach. Oh, it was like my favorite. Actually, I had roses like that for my wedding because it was my favorite and God knew. But if you asked me, okay, what was more enjoyable, looking at these beautiful flowers or knowing that your friend got them for you and that she was thinking about you? It was the relation. Every time I saw, oh, Dion, you're just so sweet, you know, just I felt her love. And I felt her friendship and I felt her strength, you know, just holding my hand, strength. And God wants to give us those things that we just love, our favorite. He knows what our favorite, He wants to give us our favorite stuff. But when we look at it and when we use it, we're like, God, oh, your friendship, thank you. You're right here with me, you know? That's even better than all this stuff. So we don't need to you know, be covetous. We just seek the Lord. Let Him bless you. He wants to. Amen. And just one more little illustration since I have a few minutes. And that is, anybody bored yet? You good? Yeah? This is good? Praise God. I was in college and had a little bit of money and went to Macy's and just decided to browse. And yeah, when you have kids, it's just like non-existent, you know? Never, it's been years since I've just kind of gone, oh, you know, just browsing around. And I passed a table full of pillar candles, huge pillar candles, and they smelled so good. And I just couldn't walk away. I kept trying to walk away, and I was like, picking them up and smelling them, so beautiful. And this was a time when I was practicing hearing, you know, the Lord and just trying to live my day with Him. And just actually I had gone shopping with Him, like, let's just go somewhere, God, you know, just having this wonderful relationship. When you're single, you can, I just encourage you to do that. Do that. Go on dates with God. Seriously. Yes. So I'm shopping with the Lord and just enjoying and just like, Lord, you know, if you want to just lead me, you know, just help. I'm trying to, you know, learn to hear, exercising, you know, hearing His voice. And I just sort of sensed like He was like, just get it. And I look and it was $25 for a candle. And I'm like, oh, no, no. But He was just encouraging me like, come on. It's like as if it were from Him. Like, it's for me. Do it. You know, this is, I want this for you. So I was like, oh, wow, you know. And I didn't go into debt over it. I had a little money, but, you know, no shoes, no clothes. So I went, I was like, okay, I trust you, Lord. This is going to be good. And let me tell you, every time I lit that candle, it smelled, it filled everything with this wonderful scent. It was so beautiful. It was white. And then at the bottom, it had like these dried flowers that had been melted into the wax. And every time I lit it, I just felt like, oh, thanks, God. You know, it's just a candle from the Lord. And it lasted for a really long time. And, It was just a blessing. He wanted to see me enjoy that. And so, hey, why don't we go shopping with the Lord, you know? And just let him, let him, you know, now you're like, oh, she had to go there. Oh my gosh. But truly, commit all of our ways to the Lord. Commit all of our ways to the Lord. He will lead us to make the right decision. And when we buy something and we know it was from him, it's not coveting and it's not gluttonous. It was something that you and the Lord did together, and it's all the more special. Amen? Okay. So let's go ahead and just get to our table time, and everybody just share your heart and have a good time. Amen.